Okay.
Welcome to the Permaculture Pimp Cast with your host, the Permaculture Pimp Daddy and the Pasture Raised Pimp. Get your recommended daily allowance of permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. Tip a pimp. Stay alert, stay alive. Permaculture is my passion. All right, here we are, our Wednesday special, like we always do. And every Wednesday, that's the format we have right now, that basically every Wednesday, I'm going to bring somebody new to you. Somebody you ought to know about, maybe you don't currently know about, and today is no exception. I met him a few weeks ago, he and his wife, and I was thoroughly impressed with what they got going on. But before we get into it, remember, as always, this episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com. Turn that simp into a pimp. Bam! Also, Heaven's Harvest, y'all, 10% off with promo code PERMA. I don't even need to sell that stuff. It sells itself, and it's a good Christian company, Christian owned and operated, the whole nine yards, and they provide some ballin' stuff. In fact, don't forget, all the seeds, even though they claim only a 85% germination rate, for us has been 100%, and that's pretty doggone impossible. That's light years better than the, the famous seed companies you have out there. Also, remember, $50 off with promo code PERMA for EMP Shield. All right, so we've talked about it before. I'm a journeyman electrician with 25 years of experience, and I'm here to tell you, the number one threat on your home is lightning. And this thing not only is an EMP shield, but it's also a lightning arrester. So you want to make sure you check that thing out. And remember, you get $50 off with promo code PERMA. And finally, remember, Heaven's Harvest. Harvest Right. Almost got too many heavens in there, but you can't have too many heavens. So Harvest Right freeze dryers. Remember, if you need one of those, we've got a link down below. And don't forget our contributors. Remember, you got Pastor Lon. Don't forget him. And you can check out his YouTube channel. Don't forget Eric Sider. He also has a YouTube channel. In fact, 90% of the shirts I wear probably come from Eric. And don't forget Chef Keith Snow, Harvest Eating. You want to go check that out. He's one of those guys that in these weird times can help you to turn your, your humble ingredients into some five-star ballin' meals. Okay, with that said, all the housekeeping out of the way, I'm going to go straight into my man Jason from Big Bear Homestead. How you doing, brother?
Hey, man, how's it going?
I'm good. I met you and your wife a few weeks ago, and I was really excited to get you on because not only do we have a whole lot in common in terms of some of our interests and likes and I dare say even our dislikes, which we'll keep to ourselves for now, we have a whole lot in common, but you have a particular asset that is really not even spoken about in most preparedness or permaculture, well, maybe in the preparedness circles a little bit. But you specialize in some things that we're going to get into here in a minute. But before we get into any of that, why don't you give us a little background? Every superhero has an origin story. Why don't you give us yours?
It's funny how you say superhero. Let's see. I'm a veteran of the United States Marine Corps. I was in the Marine Corps for about 8.5 years. And I have a communications background from my time in the Marine Corps. And we are actually the very first channel on YouTube to do consistent homesteading content. So we're basically the first YouTube channel to start sharing what we were learning through the School of Hard Knocks on YouTube. So we've been doing the YouTube thing for a while. We came from a preparedness background. We started out as preppers and stocking up. And then we had, of course, the all great epiphany where we realized we can only stock so much, and we started to look at ways to become more sustainable. So then we started planting gardens and getting chickens weren't our gateway animal like everybody else. Ours was quail. And so we've been doing this ever since. We moved to our forever homestead about 11 years ago, and we have been just cranking it out and improving each year. We finally were able to save up the money to be able to, we purchased a tractor and a side-by-side. So that really became a hardcore combat multiplier for us here on the homestead. We were able to gain back a little over 1.5 acres of land with that added muscle on the homestead. And we just, I mean, we keep the preparedness mindset here as we move forward. For lack of a better term, selling out to the fad of going back to the way it was with, you know, everybody wanting to have a garden, everybody wanting to do this, everybody wanting to do this. We've kept our preparedness mindset. We still run fire drills at my house. We still do what we call, refer as the 1800 weekend, where we go to the main breaker. Well, we don't flip the main breaker because we let the freezer stay on, but we flip off all the breakers and we basically do like an EMP drill where, you know, nothing's working. And so we're cooking outside and we're like, my girls, they're 17 and be, what's today's date? The 24th, 25th?
Yeah, 20. Yeah, me too.
It's either today or tomorrow, LaDessa turns 16. So it depends on which day. If it's the 24th, if it's the 25th, it's today. If it's not, it's tomorrow. But they both, I believe wholeheartedly that you teach a girl no different than you teach a boy. So they know how to change their tires, change their oil, change switches, change outlets, start a fire from nothing, all those kinds of things. And we just absolutely love this lifestyle. We love sharing what we learn. You know, after been doing it as long as I have, you've learned a lot of lessons through blood, sweat, and tears, and a lot of pain on the pocketbook. And so we try to share a lot of those mistakes that we've made over the years with everybody else to be like, hey, don't do this. Just because you read it on the internet doesn't mean it works. You know, and sometimes, you know, we don't make the best decisions. Sometimes we jump with both feet before we do research, like how we got into dairy cows. At the end of it, you know, I feel like we learn more that way than we would if we would have done any research.
Let me back you up a little bit, Jason. Okay, so you're one of the OGs in the YouTube space. And I want to get back to the origins of what made you feel, because you're a Marine, okay? So we know your heart is woodpecker lips, so we know you got that training behind you. But I want to know what made you, first of all, even go into the preparedness space. For everybody that seems to get into this space, there was some moment, there was some thought, there was some feeling that something might unfold and maybe they got to be prepared for it. What brought you there from being, you know, just a regular everyday person like everybody else?
I did two tours overseas, and I got to go to many different third world nations. And I told myself then, when I seen little children out begging for food or out trying to hustle money, and if they didn't sell everything in their little tray, they got a whooping when they got home, you know, just so their parents could buy some rice. I told myself that's never going to happen to my family. And so then when I came home, the America that I left was completely different from when the America that I came home. And I saw things, recognized things that were happening that kind of told me that we're kind of heading in that same direction. And I just said, my family's not going to have to be out there and, you know, beg or have to struggle through hard times. So it was more from I'm protecting my family and being the head of my household, like how God intended me to be. I'm there to provide and protect for my family. And that's basically awesome. What it ran into. And then in 2008, my wife and I, we both lost our jobs at the same time during that recession. And we had to live off what we lived off our preps for the better part of 6 months. And the kids just thought we were on vacation. You know, they didn't know it because I think they were both like 5 or 6 at the time, right around that age. So life didn't change. You know, we were just doing more fun stuff outside, you know, and that's what really kind of also kind of kicked off the homesteading aspect of it, because we had that time to start putting in the garden, starting to, you know, expand the chickens and the rabbits and the pigs, and it just went crazy from there.
But yeah, see, that's... Now, that's amazing, the ride there and how we saw things the same way. And I've spoken extensively on this PimpCast and in a number of other interviews that for a lot of us, 2008 was a demarcation point. And I was already into this before then, but 2008, good night. I couldn't find a job. I mean, the only jobs I could find were in third world countries. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't, you know, they wouldn't, I've got the realities of how, even though there was work in Canada for somebody like me, I couldn't get up there because I didn't have a social insurance number. And I told myself that if I ever get myself back on my feet again, I just like you, mm-hmm. you had more foresight than I ever did. I was like, if I ever get myself back on my feet, I'm never going to be in this position again. But, you know, strangely enough, Jason, all the other people that were around me that had been through the same thing, same problems, as soon as things started to turn back around in 09, maybe 2010, they went right back in the matrix. Did you see the same thing?
Yeah, most definitely the same. Look, we my parents and my stepdad was in the Marine Corps as well. And he was in at the tail end of Vietnam and then into the stuff that happened in Panama and everything. And they don't talk to us to this day. They think that we're conspiracy wow. theorists. We're paranoid. We're, you know, all this other stuff. And it's they haven't talked to us for almost 5 years now. And it's like, how do you not? I don't understand how you not see this coming. When we first started into this, you know, my mother would always, you're just paranoid. Your Marine Corps messed up your head. You're just paranoid, you know. But then when 2008 hit, all of a sudden my mom was putting in a vegetable garden, you know, and then they start asking questions and they were buying hurricane lamps and they were doing these different things. And so I didn't, you know, I played it cool. You know, I wasn't going to jump at them or anything. I just, when they'd ask questions, I'd answer. You know, but then 2010, 2011, you know, I'm back to being a conspiracy theorist, paranoid again. And that's when they kind of, you know, pretty much that's when a lot of the trouble started to kick back up again with it. But on both sides of our family, there were people that looked at us strange and like we were weird. And then, you know, Mr. Vid came along and then all of a sudden people started wanting to get chickens and then all these shortages come along and people starting to ask questions. And now here we are on the flip side of that. All of a sudden, you know, we're back to being the crazy people again, you know, and it's not a matter of if now with the way that the world is going, it's when. And we've kicked our stuff into overdrive because of the temperature and everything that's going on right now. And because like in 2008, you know, you were talking about how you were looking for a job. I actually started a business at the end of 2008, 2009 with a trapping service. I was doing nuisance wildlife removal. And that really kind of kicked us to be able to purchase our forever homestead where we're at now on this 21 acres. And but it's amazing the short term memory issues that people have.
Let's jump right into that. So whereas a lot of people like myself in 08 who had emerged from the matrix, had been out for a while, didn't quite see the entire view and how easily everything could just fall apart as it did in 08 and 09 for me. Toughest years of my life, but it was also one of the best because it made me realize, okay, yeah, this American dream they tell me I need to have, it is a flipping nightmare and I'm going to do the very opposite. And then so I started examining, studying, and then figured out, okay, yeah, here's how I get out of this thing. How do I extricate myself? So in 08, walk me through that, because there's a lot of people that are approaching that right now. Some may be losing their jobs. It doesn't take a good eye to see that everything in the store is twice what it was about a year ago. And in 08, why don't you walk us through how that transpired? So you started yourself when everybody else felt the need to maybe do what I did or just acquiesce completely. You went guns a-blazing in another direction. Why don't you walk us through that and how that all began?
Well, it basically happened as my wife made a mistake on paying a bill. And so I come from a trapping background. My grandfather, we used to tell everybody that when they would ask him, you know, how old was it when you took Jason into the woods? How old was he when you started teaching him how to hunt and trap and fish? And his answer was when he was smart enough to be able to hold on to my boot and not let go. And so I've been in the woods like forever. And so I knew that there was in Augusta, Georgia, the city was just exploding. It's like the second Atlanta. And so as they were ripping out forests and stuff to put in neighborhoods, I knew that the animals weren't going anywhere. And so put two and two together, and I just was going to the pest control companies and saying, hey, you don't go after the squirrels and the bats, and you don't want to send your guys out after the bees. I'll do it. And so they would send out my number, and then boom, that's how my business just kind of took off. This atmosphere that we're in, you have to take a leap of faith, because this is the perfect atmosphere to actually start a business. I mean, if you go back and you research some of the bigger companies that are out there that's been around for a while, most of them really got their start around the Great Depression timeframe, because somebody saw a need, they could meet that need, and so they developed a business. And I think now, if you are making a product, you make it sound and solid where it's not going to break in a few months, people will pay the extra money for it. Customer service is a huge thing, at least where we are. I don't know about up there in North Carolina, but yep, in Georgia, people will pay extra if they know they're going to get good customer service.
Or somebody that answers the phone.
Yes, a live person that answers the phone. Yes, that is key. When we purchased our tractor, we went and we ran the gambit with all the tractor people around here. What made us make our decision on what tractor to buy, it wasn't the color of the paint, it wasn't the name on the side, it was the people that we were buying it from at Steck Equipment. And their customer service was off the chain. I felt like I was back in the 80s again with the level of customer service that we were receiving. And, you know, even talking with Joel Salatin at the last thing where we met, he said, his daddy always said, you don't buy the color of paint, you buy the level of service. You buy the service, not the tractor. That's exactly what we did with them. And more people are coming around to that. So if you have an idea right now, or a product or something, just make sure you provide really good customer service, and you might be the next one percenter. You never know, you know?
Well, walk me through this. Okay, so you saw a need, which I got to say is pretty doggone clever. So you saw these housing developments going in. You know doggone well that, like you said, the animals ain't going anywhere. So these people are going to have troublesome, or what they view as troublesome animals, mm-hmm, that they need squared away. How did you go about doing that? I mean, I understand you put your name out there, which is absolutely genius and clever. Walk to me what that business looks like. So somebody says, hey, I got a snake rolling up in here, or I got this troublesome coon that's jumping in my garbage. I mean, what does a business look like? What does that business look like? And also, how do you even price it?
Well, there was a couple of other companies in the area that were also doing this line of work. And my prices went on. I basically said, okay, I got to buy X amount of traps to be able to come do this job. I'm going to be able to reuse those traps. So I took a small percentage of what the trap cost. I added that to my price. I paid myself a fair wage, which back then I was looking at about $10 to $11 an hour. And I said, okay, it's going to take me X amount of time to be able to get this critter out. And then we also offered what's called exclusion work. So once we got the animal out, we would repair the damage that they did and prevented them to come back in. And so then we just took the price of the materials, time. We came out with a decent middle of the road price per foot when it came to like excluding bats. Bats were a huge moneymaker. Threw a guarantee on it, you know, and just provided just really good service. Everybody else out there, they were charging $300-$400 to come get squirrels at that time. And I couldn't sleep at night charging that much. I was charging $160 and I was making really good money, you know. And everybody would ask me, you know, why, how come I'm so much cheaper? And I tried to be nice and say, well, I don't have as much overhead as they do. You know, I wasn't going to kick people under the bus because that's bad business. The same, they're just breaking you over the coals. But as I just said, I just don't have as much overhead, you know. Now, as time went on and gas prices shot up and this price shot up, I had to, you know, raise my prices. But I always stayed right there in that realm of the 30% markup, the fair business markup, and just paid myself a good living wage, you know, a decent wage. And I wasn't out there trying to make $1 million on one house. And then after a while, 90% of my business came from word of mouth.
Absolutely, you know? Genius. I'll tell you the part that's just absolutely fascinating is that you didn't use this metaphor. You didn't just sell the car. You sold the service package along with it. And that is absolutely genius because, you know, in the electric biz where I come from, you know, a lot of guys will go in there and shortchange a job, you know, knowing they're not going to make much money on the front end, but they know that all the mistakes that the customer or the homeowner or whatever the case don't know about, and they know they're going to have to bring them back to go ahead and fix these things that they see right off the bat. Mm-hmm. So that's where they're intending to make their money. But I love how you're doing that where, hey, you know what? Okay, you got a coon getting up in here. Okay, well, you're going to keep having this problem. I got this one, but they got friends, and yeah, they're going to be coming back. So my goodness, I think that's absolutely genius.
Yeah, and I mean, it just, when you're in that situation as a homeowner and you had bats in the house or you had squirrels in your house, you know, it drives people crazy when they're hearing that critter run.
Yep.
up in their attic. And George, bats are federally protected. And one of the things that we used to do is we would go, like, prime example, I'll never forget it because it just blew me out of the water. It was the first time I did this where I was this level of successful. We went in one morning, we bid a job for bats. They said, yes, get it going. Now, a bat job, to do it and do it correctly with the cleanup and everything that goes inside with it, you could be anywhere from $1,500 to $20,000, $30,000. It depends on how bad the infestation is. But the way the state law is I can't go in there and I can't put my hands on them and put them in a box and move them up. I can't set up a trap. I have to let these guys leave on their own free will. And so I'm getting them out of Joe Schmuckatelli's house here. Well, everybody else in the cul-de-sac is now vulnerable. So one of the things that we used to do before we put that one-way door up is I would go around to every door. And I would tell the guy that the house is working on, I said, look, I'm going to give your neighbors an opportunity to do a preventative so that way they don't run into this as well. And most of 99.9% of the time, the people were okay with waiting another day or two. And, but we went into this one cul-de-sac one time and I got every house.
Wow.
I left out of that cul-de-sac with about $15,000 in my pocket. because I mean, but we were there for 2 days from sun up past sundown, nailing all of these houses closed, and the bats had to go somewhere else, you know? And so when you offer that level of service, now granted, when I was doing a preventative, you know, it was more, it would cut it almost in half because the cleanup was $100 an hour. So you would take a good portion off of the price with the preventative. And I would tell people that. And so of course they would jump on it, but everybody else out there in Augusta at that time was not doing that. They weren't offering that.
Wow.
And so that's how we kind of really jump started, and we ended up running two or three other companies out of town. They just didn't come to Augusta anymore. And we were zooming and ended up with a contract at Fort Gordon. And, but then again, my major demise, well, besides getting older and not being able to carry 40-foot ladders with ease anymore, was employees. Getting people to show up to work.
Wow.
Getting them to stay off drugs. You know, and we were paying $22 an hour for the guys doing the construction part, because some of them showed up with drywall skills, painting skills, framing skills. So I paid them accordingly because that opened up the door for when we were removing honeybees and bats. If the drywall, the roof on the drywall or your ceiling was stained, I could rip all of that out now, replace it, redo everything. And of course, when you rip out one little section to make it look right, you pretty much got to do the whole thing, you know? And so, but employees is what was my downfall, and then I just got frustrated with it. Now I pick and choose what I want to do. I do a lot of beavers and coyotes and stuff like that. I leave the bat chasing to the younger guys now, you know. So, but I'll go after honeybees. If it's somebody at my church or somebody that I know, I'll go after the hornets and the wasps and stuff still. But most of the time, it's just I get stuff that I know I can benefit from. The beaver, we eat. It's very good meat. Of course, with the honeybees, that just grows my apiary. And the coyotes is always good to keep down the population level here. And, you know, and then it spun into where I was able to go to different homesteading conferences and give lectures on predator control, give demonstrations on how to set different traps and stuff. And in fact, hopefully by the end of November or the middle of November, I'm shooting for my first ebook on predator control to come out. Awesome. And then we're gonna focus on each predator that a prepper or a homesteader would come encountered with, how to do preventative, how to do damage control, what to look at when they get your chicken. It'll tell you exactly what predator you got, and then how to stop them, and then how to keep your population managed. Because you can, when you know, like we have 21 acres. When we first bought this property, it was overrun. I had a huge hog, coyote, and feral dog problem. Within a week, I didn't have that problem anymore. And it was just, I just came in and I controlled the population. And then I've done some other things to keep them towards the back of my property in my wooded areas. And because the most important thing out of, if you go come through and every book that I write, you buy and you go into every lecture that I do, the only thing that I ever want anybody ever to remember is this. Everything in the animal kingdom follows its food source. You can wrap your brain around that. Predator control is easy.
Bam. Boom. This is why I wanted you on so much, Jason. I mean, that among other things, I mean, I hit it off perfectly with you. I mean, we're, there's a lot of awesome conversations he and I had that, of course, we can't share right here in this sort of, in a podcast format regarding certain things in the environment within the homestead space and some of the things we both love and also a lot of the things that, you know, that we see going wrong within it. But ladies and gentlemen, he's one of the things that is going right within here. Look at this. I mean, look at what you've learned already. That in a time where everything was falling apart, here it is. He went out there, started a business, kicked it off, successful, and then over time has molded it into, as he's aged and, you know, dealing with certain things, that he had to customize it and make it a certain way. Now, Jason, I want to also hit into the fact that you, of course, do lectures and you do classes. Are you doing those these days? And how could anybody, what would be the best way? Because we have record numbers right now, as you well know, that are getting into the homestead space. I mean, off the charts numbers. And of course, things like YouTube and the podcast apps and a lot of them are doing a whole lot to suppress the information that people like you provide and people like me that we provide. And even though we have this incredible number of people getting into this space, they're struggling to get information and training. Look, folks, you can go out there and get all the chickens you want, but if you got possums, coons, coyotes, you name it, out there picking them off, well, it ain't doing you no good. So, Jason, back to you. Maybe we can talk about some of the politics of what's going on here in a little bit, but I want to first get into what can the average person getting into this space? I mean, you gave a big chunk, a big, awesome piece of information there as far as, you know, looking at the food source. How can they get this training from you? I mean, I know you're going to come up with an ebook, but are you doing anything in person? Can they come to your... I mean, what would you offer? Because I know a lot of people are going to hit me up about it.
We always have an open gate policy here on our homestead. If you want to come and see how we're doing everything, reach out. We'll set up a time. We'll give you the tour. We'll show you how we're running our chickens on our Gallagher fencing, our pigs on the Gallagher fencing, how we're rotating back and forth, our milking stanchion, how we have everything set up. Our kitchen garden, our gathering area, our fodder gardens for the animals, all these different things that we got going on. We don't hide anything. We're an open book. This time next year, we're going to start offering chicken butchering classes. We're going to also offer this winter a small amount of pig processing classes. I personally, if it was me when it comes to butchering classes, I would go to just about everybody that you trust, go to their class, because you're going to pick up nuggets of information on different ways everybody does things different. Like you and I talk, just talking about different things with a pig, you know how to be able to harvest more meat from the pig than I do, because you got all of that background with butchering. And so we're really excited to hook up with you for you to come down and show us what you know, or us come up there and you got to show us what you know about butchering. But as far as, you know, if you want to learn about essential oils, my wife has an ebook out, the top 10 essential oils for homesteaders. Be looking for my predator control ebooks and stuff to come out. But when it comes to what's on the internet and YouTube, this is really important, and I'm not jabbing or anything. This is just factual. Subscribers does not equal wisdom and experience.
Bam.
There's some people out there that they come from a filming background, so they get lots of stuff because of they can entertain you, and some of the information that they're putting out is not that great. Jess from Roots and Refuge made an outstanding point a week or two ago with all of this AI and stuff coming out now. You know, she did a video about don't go for the first book that you see. Try to get some that the original copyright, original published date has a 19 in it or something, you know, because there's she's followed some simple stuff as recipes that she thought that she was following that was a legit recipe, ended up as she was going along, you know, just hosed up everything on the end. So do your research, go to people that you can tell that they're doing it. You can tell that they're living the preparedness lifestyle, that they're doing the homesteading lifestyle, that are not afraid to share their mistakes. That's really, I think that's a very key point when you know somebody's being real. When they come out and say, okay, we messed this up, don't do this, you know. I think those people, those are the type of people that you can trust. Everybody that's trying to make everything just absolute perfect. I don't know if you could, you know, everybody has their own opinion. There's drama in the preparedness world, just like there's drama in the homesteading world. people calling each other out all the time. And wisdom and experience are key, because you get wisdom through experience. And you get experience through doing it. And so I'm not the know-all be-all when it comes to preparedness and homesteading. Look, I still have a library of books right here that I reference to. And I look at some things when I'm bored and I'm just flipping through on a rainy day. I'm like, ooh, maybe I'll try and make this, or maybe I'll try and do that. But I like hard books. My number one book, I call this my homesteading Bible. I think you probably got this one too, is John Seymour's The Self-Sufficient Life and How to Live It. This was the very first homesteading book we got, and it's seen better days. I mean, it's worn out like my Bible is. And, you know, so that book, I think the original copyright of that book was like 1970 something, and it's been reprinted over the years, but there's a lot of good information in there. And what I do, and this is another key important thing that for some reason it gets missed, and it's like a common sense thing, but just because doing A in Michigan works for that homesteader in Michigan doesn't mean A is going to work for me down here in Georgia, because the microclimate's different, the climate's different, the insects are different, they're the same but different. You know, so there's all things that we have to take into consideration. Do like Georgia, now let's put on a tinfoil hat for a second, but the state of Georgia offers what they call a gate card, where you can get a, like, you don't pay taxes on your feed and stuff like that. We don't participate in that because they want to know absolutely everything that you have. Another trick that they've the powers that be have been doing that we have witnessed personally is they'll do the aviation flu scare, and they want people who have chickens and ducks to come, and they want to educate you about it. But if you sit out in the parking lot across the street from where they're having it, you'll see the college kids that they're paying to walk around and write down license plate numbers. So they're getting your address and everything. And then they're going to come to you and say, you know, we got aviation flu in the area. We're going to confiscate your entire flock. I witnessed that firsthand here in Podunk Town, Georgia. And it was a huge eye opener. So I don't participate in any of that stuff. And if that's wearing a tinfoil hat, then I'm going to wear it proudly. But at the end of the day, I don't want, I mean, granted, I'm on YouTube, so all they got to do is pull it up. But I'm not going to make it easy for them. You know, they're not going to know exactly what breeds I got, because that's a lot of that stuff you can't tell from video anyway, you know. And but it's, do your research, do your due diligence on that person. If they're on any type of social media, you can do a deep dive on that person to find out whether or not they're legit. It's not very hard. And then just, you know, if something throws up a red flag, trust your gut.
Well, there's no shortage. I mean, I guess I could get in the sum of what you and I talked about. But before I do that, folks, Jason reminded me, and I should have already told you all about this, but remember, November 4th, I'm just announcing this right now, and we'll talk about it again. From 9 to 5 in Burnsville, Renewed Homestead's going to be doing a chicken processing out there, and I'm going to be helping out. And they got limited seats, so with this record number of people getting into this space right now, I think they're going to be 10 out there. I'm not sure, but go to Renewed Homestead. In fact, we'll go ahead and leave that link down below. There's going to be $60, and you walk away with a chicken. And trust me, it's these skills that are dying skills right now that people need to get. So if you want the opportunity, come on out there. I'm going to be showing you how to do it, probably a couple of different ways. And so be sure to check that out. But now back to you, Jason, with the information that's provided out there. Look, I mean, I'll be straight, because that's one cool thing about this podcast is that it allows me to say things that ordinarily I never get away with on YouTube. And one of my biggest criticisms, and I know it's yours too, is that there's a whole lot of people out there that have, that are more polished than spit and more glitter than grit when it comes down to really knowing what they're talking about. And like you said, for some of us that are old hands at this, you can see right through it half the time. Like Danny from Deep South had talked about how a lady pulled up these carrots and they didn't have no root hairs on them. Well, he knew right off she bought them out of the grocery store. Or, you know, there's a whole lot, but there is a whole lot of that going on where people are pretending to be subject matter experts in a lot of this stuff. And they're leading a whole lot of people astray. In fact, some people are getting into this. They get the bad information and say, okay, well, I guess chickens don't work on my farm or can't raise pigs here. Well, they got bad information from the get-go because they're following this person just on the basis of how many views they have. So from an OG like you, the guy that's been around from day one, really, in this whole space, especially in the social media thing, and folks, go check him out. Go check out his YouTube channel, because honestly, he's one of those people that is being suppressed out there because he is providing good information. So what are your thoughts on that as far as the number of people that kind of might be at the fore of all this that are providing this information? I mean, do you have some opinions on any of what you see going on?
Oh, yeah, I got a lot of opinions, but, you know, it's opinion. Everybody's got an opinion. It's kind of like a certain other body part. Everybody's got one, and they all do kind of stink. But that you're absolutely right. There's a lot of people out there that have jumped on different bandwagons, whether it's homesteading, off-grid, and they are just entertaining you. I mean, at lack of a better term, that's really, that's all they're doing. And And I mean, and it's not just this genre. You see it in the bushcraft genre and the preparedness genre. Like I like to watch the bushcraft stuff. I love Corporal's Corner. He's a guy who he's straightforward. I mean, he's a Marine brother, but that's not the only reason why I watch it, because he's straightforward and he teaches. He teaches knots, he teaches different lashings, all kinds of stuff. And to me, I think that's what you have to look for. You got to look for the person. If you want to learn, you have to look for the people like yourself, us, a couple others out there that have the teacher's heart. Because at the end of the day, I'll just throw this out here and be transparent. We teach because, and I'm not being ugly, but if it goes sideways, I don't want you showing up at my gate. I want to empower you now so you can take care of yourself and maybe some of your elders in your community, people who can't, that may be disabled or whatever, that can't in your community. I want to empower you now to be able to start to take that community mindset and pay it forward. I don't want you to go, well, I know Jason and Big Bear, I know they got it going on over there, I'm just going to go to his place, I know he can feed me. No, it's not going to work that way. One, my wife and I love to teach. Two, we want to empower, and this sounds ugly, but I don't want you, when this stuff goes sideways, I don't want you to come here, because I don't want to be responsible for you, because I can't. I got enough responsibilities here with me and mine. And so you find those people that are teaching. There are some people out there that are doing it like a reality TV show. And there are some channels that are doing the reality TV show, and they got good nuggets of information dipped in there. Problem with that is it's very hard to go back and find it, you know, where folks like myself, it's 99.9% teaching. We may do a homestead update, or if we had something funny happen, we'll share that. But mostly that's in shorts. But find the people that, if you want to learn, you have to find the people that are teaching. If the person is just, you know, going on a political rant, or something like that on an off-grid channel or a homesteading channel, you're wasting your time, because the clock is ticking. Because it's no matter, it's no longer if, it's when. And the whole world is a tinderbox right now. So right now you want to develop information and skills, and you want to master them as fast as you can, you know? And if it was me and you're listening to this podcast or you're watching our videos, I wouldn't focus on, now I believe wholeheartedly everybody should have a bug out bag, and not just because, you know, the Chinese are coming or something like that. Because if you have a bug out bag and you have a fire in your house, you can book out with something, and something is better than nothing. You know what I'm saying? Now I think you should focus and think about the bare necessities of what you need, bare necessities in life to live. You know, of course you need air, water, shelter, food, you know, in that order, really. Because you'll die from exposure before you would from starvation. So when you start thinking along those lines with, with a preparedness hat on, and start to do moving forward. When we got first started in preparedness, back then $5 would go a lot further than what it would today. But we would add $5 to our grocery budget. And that $5 was spent on getting canned goods, getting peanut butter, getting this. Like when we had, I don't know if you remember, but 2006, 2005, time frame, they had that hiccup with the peanut harvest. And remember when mm-hmm. we went through the roof? We were plugged in to different preparedness podcasts. Like, I don't know if you remember, I wish they would come back, but Off the Grid News was really popular back then. It was a great podcast. And they let it out that, you know, hey, peanuts, well, there was a huge bad crop of peanuts. And so peanut products are going to go through the roof. Well, we focused on peanut butter, and we got a whole year's worth of peanut butter and the peanut cooking oil. And we were good. We never, and then the prices came back down before we even ran out of the peanut butter. And so we were good. And so get plugged in. You know, a lot of people say, I don't watch the news anymore. That's a huge mistake. I watch every news channel that I can. I even watch the liberal ones, CBS and ABC, CNN, because I want to know their spin on it. I want to know what kind of jump that they're trying to do. One of the blessings that we have is we're pretty close to Athens, to UGA. Well, they have a broadcast curriculum there where with our public broadcasting system, we can get the news will start here at about 4 o'clock on this PBS station. But the very first news podcast I'm watching is in Tokyo, and then it'll bounce to Berlin, and then it'll bounce here, and then it comes local, and then it goes to national. You want to have your eyes opened? Find a way to watch a news broadcast like Sky News. You can get pick that up on YouTube. But from somebody across the pond on a hot topic, and then listen to what we say. You don't think you're being lied to? I challenge you to do that, and your mind will be blown. Because like when we had that spying incident with Germany, on the Berlin news, they were talking about boycotts, possibly could turn into a conflict with the United States. That's how mad they were. An hour later, by the time we got to our national news, everything was sunshine and rainbows with them again. And so I knew right then we're being lied to, right? So, but listen to them because you'll get bits of nuggets here and there. And also listen to them because you'll be amazed that whether it's Fox News or CNN, there are times that they are saying the exact same thing. They're not even changing the words.
Touche.
The exact same stuff. So that makes you, how in the world are two people, two separate people that are coming from supposedly two political backgrounds saying the exact same words? And it's not just they're making the same point. No, they're saying the exact same words. You and I have a lot in common, but you and I can explain a squash plant to the letter, to the T, but I guarantee you we won't use the same words, you know? And so get plugged in with that. Keep your eyes open. I always, you know, tell everybody keep your head on a swivel, but that doesn't just mean keep looking over your shoulder out there. That means get in all the information that you can give. Find people that are teaching, you know, like you, us, Corporal's Corner, all, a couple of other, you know, Southern Prepper One out there. I like his Boots on the Ground series. Absolutely love that. That is a great series to get. I use that as a news source for me because he's literally getting emails from people all around the world and all across the lower 48. And they're telling him what's going on in his area, you know, when they were really pushing that thing. You know, he was telling everybody, you know, we had all these shortages over here. They didn't have eggs here. They got some eggs here, this, that. And it was just really good. It reminded me of like the old time call in radio show.
Yeah.
You know, and I really felt that that's very good information. But when it comes to different classes that people are offering out there, do your research. You know, I think the haulers just got done, or they're getting ready to do a pig processing class. You know, the people do a lot of stuff with hand hume. They're good if you want to learn how to do the fancy stuff, the charcuterie and stuff like that. But if you just want to, put some pork chops in the freezer, then I think that's where, you know, if you're offering a class, I don't know exactly what Ben's offering, but I know they do some bacon and stuff up there. That'd be, you know, on when we do it, that's exactly, we're going to be cutting these animals down into primals, and then we're going to be doing just your basic hams, Boston butts, pork chops, bone in, bone out, you know, those kind of things, removing the spinal cord. A lot of people forget that step. Doing the bacon, smoking bacon, building a smokehouse. You know, like I built a smokehouse and I did it kind of on the cheap And I get a lot of flack in the comments from it because my outer walls, I made OSB. And everybody was just tripping about the glue and stuff that's in the thing. But everybody fails to realize, I knew that glue and stuff was there, but before I put a meat in there, I smoked that building for hours. And I got it out. And I hot smoked it for hours. And now it's just a cold smoker, you know? And I've never had an issue with it. Now, I got like probably an inch and a half of char. You know, but I went into that because sometimes you got to do what you got to work with what you got. Okay. But if you go into it like building that smokehouse, I knew the glue. I knew that stuff that was in there. So I knew, okay, I just got to burn it out. At the end of the day, I just got to burn it out. And, you know, we live in the granite capital of the world.
Oh, yeah.
Some of my raised beds, the spiral herb garden video we just put out that we made, it's ugly. It's ugly. It is not meant to go into a home and garden magazine, but it's extremely functional. And I used with what I had. I got no money in that herb spiral garden in the center of my kitchen garden. I got no money. I got the granite chunks and rocks that I picked up off my property, and then the compost that we made here, you know. And I got cardboard from my buddy who owns a mom and pop choke and puke up the road. I got the cardboard boxes from it that I laid down as my weed control, my weed barrier. I got zero money in it, and that herb garden will produce every and any herb that I put in there. And so it's, if you look at it from a business mind spec or thing, it's a 1,000% profit.
Yeah.
You start your own seeds and stuff, and you know.
Folks, this is exactly what you heard from him. He dropped absolutely a tactical nuke of information when it comes to wisdom in this space. For example, one of the things I've been highly critical of, especially for homesteaders just getting into this space. You know, teaching somebody how to do charcuterie at the high level, when you should first learn how to dispatch the animal, how to break it down into primals, and if need be, subprimals, how to put that meat away. If you're doing anything beyond that, if you've listened to this podcast, you know that's one of the biggest things I hate about what I see going on. It's like showing somebody how to dunk a basketball before they learned how to dribble. So you're going to show somebody how to make mortadella, capicola, prosciutto, all these other things before they have. And this is what I've been highly critical of, because just like Jason said a moment ago, they're going out there and they're showing all the fancy cuts and all this other stuff. You don't need to know that right out of the gates. Mm-hmm. Yes, I know how to do every single bit of that. I know how to do it, you know, with nothing more than really salt in a pinch, if that's what I want to use. And as far as putting some of that meat away, am I going to show you how to do a country ham? Yeah, I can do that. Are we going to show you how to preserve some of this other stuff? Yeah, but you ain't going to learn how to make no Nouveau Almondine thin crust bottled water deep fried city food until you first learn how to do the basics. And that's exactly what Jason's talking about here. So when you get, look, I'm not dogging any of these other people that do that. Yeah, if you know, whatever the market will bear, if you want to go out there and learn how to do all this highfalutin stuff, you knock yourself out, but I guarantee you, you don't know the first thing about A, how to raise that animal if you're raising it, B, how to dispatch it, how to break it down, how to put the meat in the freezer. One of the biggest things that drives me nuts are all these people out there that say, okay, if it gets real stupid, if it jumps off, I'm going to go hunting. Yeah. There you go. So, Jason, I'll leave it to you to respond to that, because I know it's got to drive you crazy too, because these are people that have never spilt blood in their whole lives, and you're telling me you're going to just take up a skill like hunting, and you're going to know what to do with that meat?
But to go back, let me back up a little bit when you was talking about with the charcuterie and stuff, and correct me if I'm wrong. I feel that if you don't learn the basic cuts first, trying to learn how to make that cut to do the charcuterie and do that all that other fancy stuff, you're going to shortchange. You're going to mess up the meat. Two, you're going to shortchange yourself. Your level of frustration is going to go through the roof and everything. We've been butchering our own animals for years now. I just now started to feel comfortable enough to where I started to dabble into making my own lunch meats and doing a formed ham. I've butchered. Look, I can skin anything you bring in here. I can skin it. And I can cut anything down pretty much down into primals. But I'm more than
that's all you need to know.
Yeah. I'm more than average confident with butchering animals, but when I did my friend and I put it out there on YouTube, you can see it. It's growing. I watched this guy out of Canada, how to make a formed ham. I went to the reference and he referenced a really good book. It's a great book. I don't have it right here beside me. But on how to make this formed ham, I messed it up. I did my first one. It was edible, but it was ugly. I mean, like ugly, you know? And so I'm developing those skills into making the cuts of different sizes and maybe even throwing in a little bit of ground pork for the ham and, you know, sausage. You have to get the fat to meat ratio almost perfect for sausage or it's going to be dry. I've done 2 rounds of link sausages. And first one, my daughter went rogue and did most of it all by herself. It was extremely dry. Second round, it was a little bit better. And then you got to play with your flavors and stuff that you want to add to your taste. And just because I like it doesn't mean you're going to like it, you know? And so there's a lot that goes into it, but definitely, and no different than when it comes, you brought up dispatching and I'm so glad you did. And I'm going to sound ugly right now, but if you've never handled a firearm before and you've never dispatched an animal before and you want to kill a pig, don't go get your granddaddy's 22. Go get the 410 or 20 gauge and put a slug in it. Please, for the humanity of the animal, please do that. A lot of people, you know, there's a lot of people that want to do a video on it and they grab that 22, but then they don't tell you they ended up having to shoot that pig 5 or 6 times because getting it right there on that X with a 22, you got to be really good. Myself, I don't use a 22 to drop a pig. I'm using a 20 gauge slug and it does the job. I don't want that animal to suffer, you know? Boom. He put his head down to get that apple or whatever I threw down in front of him. And he's just thinking he's getting a treat and boom, he's gone. He doesn't feel it, doesn't know it's coming. And in my opinion, that has an impact on the flavor of your meat. That animal gets pumped full of adrenaline because you have to shoot him 5 or 6 times. That's where your taint or your wild game tastes. Like when it comes to, let's transition this into hunting. And you're, if it goes sideways, I'm going to go get my granddaddy's rifle. I'm going to go shoot a deer. No, you're not. All you're going to do is just kind of mess it up for everybody else. Because there's certain things you've got to, the woods, believe it or not, is a dangerous place. It's a dangerous place. And if you don't know what to look for, and depending on where you live, if you're in the mountains somewhere, a hungry bear or a hungry mountain lion can come out of nowhere and you're done. And if you don't know what bear scat looks like or what mountain lion scat looks like, and you just keep right on walking into it, or, you know, like these guys that do these documentaries that are going to live with the grizzly bear and then they find him in the grizzly bear scat, you know, it's like, you got what you deserve. You can't just grab a bow, you know, don't even just grab a bow, but everybody wants to grab a firearm and think that they can go sit in a tree and it's going to be like they're walking down the aisles at their local grocery store and it's just boom, boom, boom. No, I hate to break a lot of people's heart, but you got to be quiet. You got to be still. And you got to worry about what you smell like, which way the wind is going, you know, all these different things. You know, like I have back injuries and stuff, and so I can't sit as still. That means I have to go higher in the tree. You know, I'm 15 to 20 foot in a tree. You know, that way when I do have, because like even just sitting here in this comfortable chair, I move around a lot. When I'm deer hunting, I have to be high because of that, because deer, you know, their vision is all about movement. If you move, he can spot you 1/4 of a mile away. He can spot you and know exactly where you are. you know? And so I have to go high. And so these are things that you learn by doing, but you also learn by going with somebody who's been doing it a while. You want to learn how to hunt. You live in the state of Georgia and you have a valid hunting license. You want to learn how to hunt. You hit me up. I'll take you. I'll take you. I'll show you. I'll teach you. I'll mentor you. We're going to go to the range first because I'm going to see how you shoot. You know, but, you know, same way with trapping. I still go out there and fur bearer trap. There's a lot of edible fur bearers out there that if things go sideways, you know, you've got those skills. You can have a solid protein source. Beaver's great for, you know, even having fat, because fat is probably more important than the protein. You know, it's like what we said, and we put it in that short on my channel when you did the announcement for the vegans. You know, you can't get the type of fat that you need for your brain in a pill. So you have to consume these different types of things. And
what are you making for dinner?
And
you
so VA gave me that thing, and it was the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
I hate that thing. But so what was I talking about? Protein, fats.
Okay.
Yeah. So you got to, and when it comes to then, you know, killing the animal, when you're going out and hunting, that's the easy part, you know, and there's times that you're going to go out there and you're not going to see anything, you know, and there's going to be times that you get out there, your first couple, you're going to make a bad shot. And so then you have to judge whether or not you're going to trail that animal or you're going to let it sit overnight so he doesn't run to Kalamazoo, or, you know, so you can let him go off and bleed out and die. But knowing how, if you make a bad shot on a deer and you do a gut shot, you know, there's a lot of judgment calls that you have to make from that moment on. You know, you definitely don't want to push him, so you want to sit back 30, 45 minutes, an hour or so. You know, if you shoot him in the morning, that's just go back to the house, get breakfast, come out about lunchtime, and carefully, quietly start to trail him. And then you're going to lose some of it. And you gotta already get that in your head. You're going to lose some of that because all that bile and fecal matter is all in that inner cavity now because you made that bad shot. You got to make the judgment calls of when to shoot, when not to shoot. There's been times that I've been sitting in that tree and there's been some big bucks come by that I wanted bad, but I just didn't have the right shot where I was confident enough that I knew I was going to drop him, and I had to let him walk, you know? And
that's the talk of an ethical hunter, y'all. That's exactly how it ought to be done. So if you can't responsibly do that, then you don't want to take it. But this is all things that have to happen through experience. And we're getting to that time in America, like Jason said from the very beginning, is it doesn't take a good eye to see that things are falling apart right now. So you have that opportunity, y'all. In fact, one of them coming up real soon, the Kentucky Sustainable Living, that's going to be October 28th and 29th up there in Bowling Green. I'm going to be up there. We're going to be processing the pig. There's going to be a lot of other classes up there as well. And Darren from Hacks for the Homesteader is going to be processing. I'm going to be his backup. And, you know, there's going to be people to get trained up there. So make sure you get that where you can. So, Jason, before we come to a close here, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you, how they can find you.
Well, they can find us on YouTube, you know, Big Bear Homestead on YouTube. We've got a TikTok, Instagram, Pinterest. We also have our website. Now, our website's got some valid information on it as well in written form. It's www.bigbearhomestead.com. We are in the process of updating it, beautifying it, for lack of a better term, making it a little bit more user-friendly. So some of the pages look really, really nice, and some of them look nice for 2005. You know, so we've updated, you know, we're updating pictures and stuff that we've got in there. You know, you can reach me on my email address, which is jason@bigbearhomestead.com. And look, I encourage you, if you've got questions, email me. I will answer you. I'm not one of these people that gets, even if I got a gazillion emails, I'm not going to ignore somebody. If you got a question, legitimate question, and I will answer you. And if I don't know the answer, I'm going to tell you I don't know the answer. But more than likely, I know somebody that knows, or I can put you in the right direction of where to get the solid information. Because like I said before, I don't know everything and everything about preparedness and homesteading. I'm still learning myself. And I definitely, you know, if you want to come see how we do it, send me an email. We'll set up a time. We'll put some meat on the grill and we'll fellowship, get to know one another, and we'll have a good time and we'll answer any questions and we'll show you everything that we use. Robin and I believe in being extremely transparent because, again, if it goes sideways, I don't want you at my gate.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being on here, Jason. Folks, go there, check him out. You're going to be glad you did. Until next time, I'm sure Jason would agree with me. Stay alert, stay alive. You spitting that man a cotta, yeah, I'm talking saucy. All they wanna build is a prison world full of pet Tamagotchis. The kamikaze got me out of body like I'm Goku SS3. They wanna push me to the center like a cell, they wanna spill me, but the center of the next is me. They want me to battle, but I'm a warrior, I'm a warrior. I will never bow down, cause I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior.